when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode on the Celtic Now and for a podcast. After seeing another episode for a few this week, my name's Ryan Clifford. We're joined by Rob Boyle again and another guest on the podcast is Connor. Connor, how you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad, Cliffy, yourself?
Not bad, my man, not bad. Obviously, we're looking forward to the game. Obviously, me and Robert spoke about it briefly. I just want to get your kind of thoughts on the big game coming up Saturday, well, tomorrow, should I say.
For me, this could potentially make or break the season when you look at it. We've got the three games in hand, but if we don't take any points off them, then we're in real trouble. I don't see us coming back for it. That's just my opinion on that one.
And then do you think, obviously, getting into the game, how do you think the kind of form has been and obviously the changes that have happened the last few weeks, do you think we're in a better state into this game than have the last game, obviously, but we're really poor in. Do you think your thoughts have changed recently regarding the changes in the team?
I think since we made the changes, bringing in Turnbull and Sorrow for the Lille game and continuing to go with them, I think it's been good. Like, defensively, I think we're a bit better with Sorrow in front of the defence instead of Brown or McGregor. I think McGregor's better going forward, getting into the forward positions. I think Turnbull and behind Edouard and Griffiths just a bit more creativity. He's got an eye for goal as well. Like, the last three games he's played, he's scored. And Edouard, he's coming back into a game. So I think that the changes that have been made are positive. I think that if he was to go and change it again, it could put us in a bit of trouble, but wait and see.
And then obviously, Robbie, we spoke about the last game, and it was very, very poor. Defensively, we were non-existent. No shots in goal, which is criminal, obviously, again, a game like that magnitude. Obviously, that's going to improve this time.
Aye, Ryan. On that last time, we were ramped by COVID injuries, disjointed attacking line of Elanusi, who's a winger playing up front, with Klamala, who's still raw. We just seemed very disjointed, and we were pressing against them last time. It was an individual pressing. It wasn't as a unit, and we kind of I don't know, I didn't really think we pressed them that well, to be quite fair, but there was obviously individuals trying to do it. We just gave them far too easy a ride the last time, and to be honest with you, they didn't really trouble us as much the last time. They just seemed to have a lot of possession. I mean, what we need today is Stoke getting away silly fouls running about the edge of the box, because it just puts yourself under pressure and corners and free kicks and stuff. We need to get away from the niggling stupid fouls that we've been doing, because they're obviously a danger at set pieces, and if Julian's out, then I feel we're lacking that physicality height in the box if he's going to go with Beaton. I just feel this time we're better prepared, we're in a better run of form. I'm just hoping that we're starting to turn the corner, and if we get a positive result, it could kick our season on to be a right good challenge.
And obviously yourself, Connor, I've most kind of really spoke to you since the game at Celtic Park. What was your take on the last game, and would you think we need to do better this time?
Well, as Robert was saying, the last time it was we were plagued with injuries, COVID hit, we weren't really settled. I think even like in that game we brought in Laxalt, it was his first game. Imagine your first game getting papped into an Old Firm. It's no easy. But he worked hard. He fought for it the whole game, or the whole time he was on the park. But I do agree with Rangers had loads of possession. I don't think they really done too much with it going forward. The big thing for them is their set pieces. They're so dangerous for set pieces. Like I'm not really worried when it comes to open play, but set pieces, always watching the telly through my fingers, which it's not ideal. But I think as Robert said again, with Amora, we lose that physicality in the box, having Julian out. If he does go with Beaton's more composed on the ball and he's a much better passer of the ball, but when it comes to a high ball, he might struggle. Whereas last time we had Duffy and Ayer in the box to deal with the high balls and they never really done it, which you would kind of expect them to go and do, but it's one of the things, isn't it? Like, never dealt with it on the day. We just need to hope that the more they learn from the mistakes of the last game and they get it done.
Because obviously, even games before that last season, I know we won 2-0 at Ibrox, but even the cup final, there's been warning signs where we've not really, I don't know if it's the day the manager and the coaching staff not watching the games properly, but we all know how Rangers have played the last few games. We know how they're going to play tomorrow. It's the same system all the time. They've not really changed since Gerrard's came in. We've not really learned from previous games for Rangers. I don't know if that's because I don't know, I really can't put my finger on it, because we've changed formations, we've changed players, and we've still, I don't want to say we've struggled, we've not really put our authority on the game. The only time I've done that was when we kind of spoke about it in our podcast with Jerry, with Robert, was the game at Ibrox when Edward kicked the ball in the corner and we took the game to Rangers, and that's the last kind of performance we've really had against them. So I kind of touch on the defensive side. I think we just need to be solid and just really take the game of Rangers. That's from my opinion on kind of the first initial thoughts. I think we're in a bit better form, as Robert says, going into the game. We've not got as many injuries. We've not had COVID maybe stopping us. And I think the mood about the camp's a bit better, because obviously then we had Duffy came in, not really playing well. The keeper, we're still not sure about the keeper. We had a lot of hysteria about the club at the time when I put on our form. So for me, I think I agree with you that we just need to defend better and just hopefully try and put our positive spin on it, because when you talk about Edward, him coming in is a massive bonus. I know people are saying the window's opening, so he's playing for a move, but I can't see that. I just think he's got a partner with McGriffiths, and I think that's only going to make him be better on the park. I just think Griffiths and Edward, we spoke about it the other day, Robert, it's up to up front with Jerry. It's a massive thing to have.
But the more I'm getting to the game, Ryan, I don't know if he'll just change it. I really don't. I don't know if he'll go Edward up front like a 4-2-3-1. The Mel, I'm thinking he might want to be solid in the midfield with either McGregor and Tumble further forward. This is just a thing I'm thinking. If he's trying to fit Brown in, he might fit Brown alongside Sorrow as a holding two, in front of the back four, just to protect him a bit more, with maybe Julian being out and Beaton not being the centre half. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's another option he might go with two people in the wings, to try and get the fullbacks. It's just another option that he might think of to fit Brown in, but I don't think he'll drop Sorrow. I think who might be dropped is McGregor or Tumbo in that case, but I'm not saying that's going to happen. But you know, when they'll win, and you just never know what's going to, team's going to show up, do you?
But I think we touched on it. Obviously, Connor says about Brown, maybe can man and changing it. It really surprised me if Brown came in, just because that's what I spoke before I came on the corner about Brown's experience. I know Sorrow and Tumble's playing well, but Sorrow doesn't really know what this game means, so he might shove Brown in. So I don't really know what your opinion is at the corner, but that just could be something they could do.
I just think the whole, there's got to be a point where, like, you've got to trust the players that you've brought in. Like, see, I get that Brown's like a big influence. He's good to have on the park, especially in an old firm. The passion's really there. But looking at it, we've got to sort of try and prepare for him no being there.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you prepare for him no being there when you don't give other boys a chance in that situation? See, if he started with Sorrow and it wasn't gone right, fair play, change it. But I just don't see the point in dropping Sorrow when, since he came in, we've been better at the back, because he's in front of that back line, breaking up the play. Anytime he gets the ball, he puts it forward rather than going back to a centre half or back to the keeper. But again, as Robert brought up, he might change formation to accommodate both. You don't know how that would go down. I personally think that he should just keep the same shape. I would keep the sort of positive changes that he's made, so Sorrow and Turnbull, I'd keep them the same way. Because if you change it, you disrupt it, and it might not go in your favour. But it's a risk that Lennon might look to take. So
I think the midfield's going to be, I think in every Rangers game and Celtic game, it's always the midfield. I used to always say, if Scott Brown played and Scott Brown played well, Celtic won the game. But I think now that's maybe changing. I think the guard's changing in that sense. As you say, we need to prepare for Scott Brown leaving. I said the other day, I said the other day that this is probably replacing Brown's one of the biggest things since Larson. In my opinion, he's at magnitude for Brown. Rodgers brought in Kouassi. He was meant to be the guy to step in. No, done it. Again, he could come good next season because back for his loan spell. We don't know. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's not letting him. He's a permanent, isn't he? Aye, he went permanent, didn't he?
I think we did get him, aye.
Aye. Sorry to take that back. But he was the guy that came in and we paid £3-4 million for him again. Didn't work out. But to me, Sorrow looks a better... a better proposition, as Robert says, he's in that wee canty mould, and Jared can agree with it, but the canty mould, and he's always smiling and positive attitude, and I think that's, it could be a wee spanner box. It might be good that he doesn't know this game, what it's all about, because if you just play with a bit of freedom and not have a pack of nerves in the game, like, I think that's maybe when Duffy get caught out in the old firm, the Rangers can sell that game to start off with, they first came in. I think the hysteria about him came in, Celtic fan, first game against Rangers, and he was, not very good, but I think, again, on that day, we were all very poor, but I think playing Sorrow might actually be a spark in the works, it might actually be a good thing, playing him. Don't even make it that, Robert, but I think Sorrow, for me, it's just my opinion, but I think he's got to play, you've got to stick with the guys that have been in form.
Ryan, as I say, we spoke all night, I wouldn't change anything about the formation. I know you've got to stop the wing-backs and the diamonds kind of got to stretch then to kind of accommodate to obviously shut down the diamond, to shut down the wing-backs. The diamond would need to spread right across the park to shut it down. I wouldn't change anything, but I just don't know how Neil Lennon might be happy. No say to go there and get a draw, but no go there and get beat. That's the reason I'm thinking Brown might play alongside Sorrow. It's all debates, but if it's no broke, as your mate says, don't try and fix it. Just play with that team, play with that system. It's worked for us up to now. We've had 4 clean sheets. We've beat Lille. We've won a Scottish Cup. So the good 5 factor, you don't want to disrupt it. And just go and play a game. And I don't feel we should fear them going there. They'll be explosive the first 5-10 minutes. You've just got to deal with that. And we've got to be brave on the ball. People have got to want the ball and take it, and be wanting to take it in tight areas, and turn with it. That's what we've got to have. A team we're more of a team this time than individuals. I felt the last time because of the disjoint, because of COVID, because of injuries. We seem to be more built up as a team, and the guys are playing with a lot of freedom, and it's a joy to watch them now. It's gave us the feel-good factor about us, and I just hope we can go there and express ourselves. That's exactly the thing we really need to do. Mm-hmm. Young Tumble will express himself. Soil should be expressing himself. Don't be afraid of it. A challenge. Get in there and show them what you're made of. Make them be fearful of us. Let's be honest, we're the champions. We're the quadruple table winners. Let's go there and show them it's our fucking league to lose. No, for them to win. That's the attitude we should begin it with.
I kind of agree with you on that, mate. I've kind of said all week, and obviously I've looked at the betting markets, we're 5-2, and I've said, I know we're 16 points behind, blah, blah, blah. 5-2 for us, I think it's a massive price. I think we are going here as underdogs, and at the end of the day, as you say, we're the champions. So we should be expecting to go there and win. It doesn't matter who you're playing against. We're the best team, still in my opinion, in Scotland. So you've got maybe no form in the new, but individually, I think we are. I think we just need to go and show it. I agree with you that go on the front foot and be positive. I think we spoke about it. Having Tumble and Sorrow on the team, they did that. And I think you touched about it, Connor, that Tumble is always wanting to play positive and it gets us up the park. And if you're playing Edward and Griffiths, it's easy to make an admission to get one today forward pass passes.
Aye, 100%. I just think that the changes that Lennon has made in the last 5-6 games have just been so much better. Because going forward, Tumble really does get into like good wee positions, picks up the ball, turns players. He's got that wee bit a wee turn of pace just to get that wee bit that yard so that he can play a ball through into a striker or even into a fullback. He done it with Frimpong. Frimpong came in, was it the Hamilton game? We won the penalty and it was Tumble who played the ball through to Frimpong. Frimpong won the penalty and we scored it. It's just I just feel that having Tumble in there behind the two strikers with people coming in from behind them into space, it's working now. And obviously he's got an eye for goal because he scored in the last three, hasn't he? So it's good to see him in there. Hopefully if he plays the Mora, he can continue that and he can either get a goal or create chances for us to get a goal.
Because obviously really part of the Forest and maybe Julian, we're kind of at full strength with Elharan and Chams not really been playing, but we're kind of, as Robert says, a few good factors about us. Again, it might only be Ross County, but Hamilton's and blah blah blah, but you're still winning games again and you're keeping clean sheets. So for me, we're in a better place. I think you just need to bombard them. As Robert says, Rangers probably try and start the front foot, but I think we need to do it. We just need to bombard them right away. And just, for me, obviously, football swings and roundabouts for people get 10 minutes here and 5 minutes, but I think we've just got to take the game because, as Robert says, we're the champions. We've got the players to do it. And I think if you nullify Rangers fullbacks, I think you win the game. I think we've spoken about it in other podcasts that if you nullify the fullbacks and you don't get Davis on the ball, because let's be honest, I know Davis 35, 36, but he's still he's a very good football player. He can make same pick in the middle of the park. If he plays that, I don't know. But I think as much as Tavernier and Barisic are getting the plaudits, I'd be right. But defensively, Barisic doesn't stoke forces enough. So as I say to Robert all day, Frimpong was just at that wee left back all day against United. He was at him. Didn't give him a minute's peace. And I think we need to do that again. If Frimpong plays, that is, if he gets a nod, he's got to do the same. If he gets passed on once, just keep at him and keep up him. Because Barisic will get sick of it. He will, but fuck me, I'm having a torrid time here. And Tavernier, we all know Tavernier can't defend. He's been playing well this season, but we know we can expose him. And if you look at games in the past, who's made mistakes? Tavernier. It's always been doing his side. I think we just need to exploit. And I know we need to just worry about ourselves, but you need to exploit their weaknesses, and I think we're doing that. I don't know what you think, Robert, but I think if you nullify maybe they two weaknesses, I think we won the game. That's just my opinion.
As we spoke about, Ryan, before, it's the three key men is Davis in the middle of the park, just because he's so comfortable and he's good at moving the ball and that, he's still a class act. And Tavernier and Barisic, if you shut down their three, that's what everything that comes for him just comes for him. What you really want to do is be tight to Davis and tight on the fullbacks, so then their centre-halves need to go long, and then you're just hoping that Iron Beaton and Sorrow and your Laxalt and wee Frimpong can deal with that, that you want them to play a long game and just get them into a dogfight type of thing. You don't want them to be hammered down the wings, because you just want them to see what their plan B is, because I don't think they've got a plan B. I watched them against St. Mirren and they didn't have a plan B, and I think plan A doesn't work with Gerrard, he doesn't have a plan B. That's just my personal opinion. And I think what we done the last time we won there was a 2-0, is we got in their faces, we disrupted them, we played the ball into the corner, we just absolutely mind-fucked them for the very start. And I just feel that's what we need to do again. Get on the ball and break with pace, because they will try and attack as fives and sixes. They try and have maybe, it's normally Ryan Jack in it, but it'll be Davis and that'll sit. You can't tell me Davis will be able to come across and cover Barisic for when Frimpong's hanging down the line, because Frimpong will go by him, Nebora. They're then exploiting him. Well, then Goldson will need to get dragged out, or that Ballinger, or Hollander. I mean, Hollander, if I was Celtic, if it's Hollander that's going, I'd have Griffiths or Edward right on him all game, because when it comes and we get the turn of pace and we go at him, you'll get him behind him, Nebora. I'd say out of the two of them, he'd be the weakest one. I don't know much about that Ballinger if he plays. Don't know much about him, but I think by Callander, I think he can be easily exploited. And if he's playing just inside Barisic and Barisic is gone, get Frimpong to get hammered down at him, because he's going to have to come across, or Davis will come across. He'll be easily get by him. That's just my opinion on it. I think even if the game's no gone your way, like Tati getting about it, go long, because you've got the two up front, if that's what he's going to go with. Stretch him with a ball up with that. Just get Beaton to ping into a corner, or Ayer to just dink into a corner, and let's stretch him. Let's see what they're made of. That's what we need to do. No team's really attacked Rangers this year. Bar Hibs really attacked him, but we're unlucky. Dundee United, we're unlucky at home, but probably didn't do enough on the day to win or draw. And then you've had St. Mirren in the Cup, who attacked them and they scored three goals. So they're no world beaters. They just need to exploit their weaknesses. That's my opinion on it.
Aye. Everything you've said, mate, I totally agree with. Because we just need to change the way we've played recently, and I think we're doing that. Because me, you and Connor, we're just kind of armchair watchers, we're fans, and if we can see the way Rangers play, then surely the management team can really look at what's been happening and do the same. I don't know what you think of that, Connor, but what we're saying there, but for me, I think he's kind of touched on everything that I kind of was thinking myself.
Well, any time I've watched Rangers, like, if a team attacks them, presses them high up the park, and their nose comfortable, no team's going to be comfortable if you're pressured. If you've got somebody on you as soon as you take a touch of the ball, you're going to panic a wee bit. Nobody's that calm. But I think, as you said, you don't know what management and that are thinking. Surely we've got people analysing their games, giving people like specific instructions and what to do, and then they've got to go out and do it. Like as you were saying, you pressure Davis and the two fullbacks. That means that they either need to go long, or they need to like just sort of try and hit their strikers as soon as possible and hope that they can sort of hold the ball for them. And I mean, I have every confidence that if we're stopping their overlapping fullbacks and their most creative player getting on the ball, then I think we'll be doing well. I also see with the thing you were saying about Frimpong, Robert, with him getting it, Barisic, you run at him. I think that this season Frimpong has been more hesitant in terms of hitting the line and getting a ball in. I think that he's been coming inside and playing an inside pass just to be like I think it's more he's not wanting to give it away because he could be left exposed at the back. And I think that if he starts to get to the byline and putting a ball on, even if he just hits it as hard as he can across the goal and hope that it bounces off somebody, goes out for a corner, hits one of your players and goes in, then it's only going to create something. Looking at it in the past, we, as Ryan pointed out, if you get the ball and you run it to Burnley, I can't defend it. Look at Scott Sinclair, ran him ragged just about every time we played him. And we need more players that are going to pick up that ball out wide and run it there to the fullbacks. And I'm hoping Frimpong gets the confidence to run at Barisic rather than getting the ball, running a wee bit, cutting inside, passing it, and then having to come back a wee bit. But that's just me.
We touched on that the other day about Frimpong, that he's got all the speed, he's got all the attributes to do that, but his final ball has been hopeless. I think that's where it lets him down again. But as you say, it might be he's just not really used to delivering balls in the box. But I was kind of the same as you. I've wrote it down here myself. We just need to bombard the Rangers if it is with crosses across the box, because as you say, eventually one will fall to somebody's feet, it'll ricochet, it'll have somebody's shoulder, it'll go somewhere. And then you've got, if it's Edouard or Griffiths, even if it's just Edouard, the guy, for me, if he's on the park, you've always got a chance. I know he might only be 80% at his capacity on 60%, whatever, but if he's on the park, I think automatically gives Rangers a bit of, oh, shit, he's on the park. That's just my opinion. I think, especially with Griffiths on the park, see if you do have they two on your lineup, it gives Rangers a lot more to think about, because now yourself and Robert, I think you'll agree with me, Griffiths up front is an animal. He won't stop running. He might not be 100% fit, match fit, but he'll still run until he's got to go off. Edouard might be a bit laboured, but you know that Griffiths, for that goal the other day, the partnership, you can see it. They always look for each other. And I think, if to this point, we can talk about the fullbacks in midfield, but I generally think if Griffiths and Edouard play in their own game, I think it'll be very hard for us not to win a game, because I just think if you've got A2 on the park, I know you might concede a goal or two, but you're always liable to score a goal with A2 on the park. I don't know what you think on that, Robert, but for me, if you stop the fullbacks, aye, granted, but if A2 are playing and they are getting to a bit of form, it's just going to be a big plus for us on the day.
As we say, the two up front, in our opinion, is what we should always have in Scotland. Maybe not in Europe, because you're playing against far better quality. We did say that Griffiths and Edouard's partnership does work. Just hopefully the two of them can stay injury free and build up this partnership for now to the end of the season. But a big plus, I would say, is not a big plus, right? But see our two centre halves, if it's going to be iron beat on tomorrow, all right. See on the ball. The two of them are very comfortable in the ball, which could be a key thing for us tomorrow. I just feel the two of them with the ball, because Rangers are going high presses, but the two of them are very comfortable in the ball. Ayer's really good at bringing the ball out, and Beaton's very good at passing the ball. And it doesn't. I'm not saying the two of them are going to be great together, but it could be a key thing in the game is they two sitting there and having the ball and passing it about, and no just like. I think that's the difference why you brought Beaton on the other day rather than Duffy, because. Mm-hmm. He's got to plan ahead of Julian Zoot for a point at Ibrox, and Big Duffy isn't a passer of a ball, let's be honest, as much as he's a big role defender, but he's not much of a passer of a ball. And I think you're going to need players that can pass a ball at Ibrox, that can go on the ball and be comfortable and take it under pressure. I think that's what he's thinking behind bringing Beaton on the other night rather than Duffy. But we already say, Ryan, we need to go there confidence high and play our own game. And let's see what we can do.
I have to agree with you. I just think that if we start the game positive, I think it's. Cause I don't think we have the last few games. I don't mean making it that as well, Connor. But for me, if we start positive, I think it's always going to give you something to bounce on, because the last few games against Rangers, let's be honest, we've not really started in the front foot apart from the game at Ibrox last year. I think we just need to, again, we keep saying, is this the game where we start turning? the last few games we've said, is this a game where the magic starts? And I just hope this is a game where the pressure's on Celtic. It has been radio, pundits, everybody hasn't really gave us a sniff. I think this is where we might actually come up trumps and everything might just hopefully click. I don't think we make it up, but for me, starting the front foot, I think it's just going to obviously bode well for the 90 minutes.
Aye, 100%. Like, obviously, if you're playing positive and you're getting involved and you're creating chances, then you're going to build a bit of confidence, and at some point, something's going to go in, something's going to work. But I think the probably the worst thing for us is see if they get a couple of chances really early, it could put us under a lot of pressure. We might panic a wee bit, and it could make us shaky for long periods of the game. Like, until obviously Lennon makes a change. Say they had us under pressure straight away, got a couple of chances. We didn't look settled on the ball at all, and then when it gets to the second half, we start half the same way, and he makes changes. That, like, I think, obviously, if we get off to a good start, maybe get a good couple of chances in the first 15-20 minutes, try and get settled on the ball, it'll be a bit better for us, and we hopefully won't need to look to our bench too early in the second half. But I think there's been times seeing that last outcome, I think Lennon was too late to make any changes, if that makes sense. We could all see it watching it. So it didn't look comfortable at all when we hit the ball, when we didn't have the ball. It just didn't look settled. And I think if Lennon was going to make changes in that game, he would have had to have made them earlier than what he did, because he left it to about 75 minutes to bring Onetten to change it. But as you have said before, this time round, we look more settled, we look more like a team. We've not got as many injuries. COVID's not really affecting us as much now as it did then. But aye, start off positive, get a good couple of chances in the first 15-20, and hopefully we can sort of push on for there and nick a goal or two.
Because obviously as well, the last kind of few games, we've been a bit lightweight in my opinion. I haven't been lightweight all season, to be fair. There's no, even as I said to Robert the other day, you don't want to go and injure guys and get guys injured, breaking legs. You don't want that. But see, even when we were 2-0 doing the last game, like Brown or something, did anyone go and just kick somebody? Didn't make a tackle to get a reaction? There was nae, I don't want to say malice, but there was nae, like,
a bad oomph. You need to let them know you're there.
Aye. I think we've been missing that the last few games. Even the game when we won the cup final, we were very lucky to win that with obviously big fostering goals. So I think this time, I think we just need to be a bit more gearing us a bit of something to think about, if it is a nudge in the box, anything just to ramp up a bit, because I think that's what we're missing, because we're very technical and we're very flamboyant in attack and counter-attack, but I think we're missing a bit of nasty streaks. Obviously Brown, that was Brown's game in a way, but Brown's obviously getting older now and he's not playing as much, so I think we, again, maybe Sorrow does that in games to come. Maybe Sorrow is that wee guy just does that. Yeah, because as was it, I think Walt says the other day, obviously Jerry, you don't really hear about Sorrow that much in the game, which is a good thing. He just ticks away. And I think, I don't know what you think, Robert, but for me, I think we just need to be a bit more physical, because you know Rangers will be physical.
If you remember the last game, Ryan, Brown got booked quite early in that game. It took him out. Mm-hmm. I think it was like second tackle or something in the game and they booked him. So to me, right away, that's the referee putting his marker down and saying, nah, you'll not be able to come at an offal. Simple as that, and it took Brown out. You'd have been as well subbing Brown after that.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be very careful with referees in Scotland. I would say Robbie Madden's probably the best of a bad lot who's refereeing the game. But I get what you mean, but when you get into these tackles, you've got to get in, but you've got to get in fair, but you've got to give me a bit of malice. Mm-hmm. Like Big Simonovic's tackle at Ibrox against Kenny Miller. Like Kieran Tierney's tackle against Candice out on the left-hand side. Go in 100%, but make sure you win that ball and you're not getting that referee a decision to make. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can get through a ball and through a guy, and that guy knows you're there, but it's been that good enough to win that ball and make sure you've put the guy after it. And maybe that's Brown done it a few times as well. He's done it early years, and that's maybe what we do lack a wee bit of that. I would say we're a bit pulled up off this season. And one off, like guys like Callum McGregor and that are never going to do that. As you say, we sorrow could be that guy because he looks like one of the wee guys, tenacious in the tackle and isn't he fear to put a foot in. We cannot create. We've got to emphasise no gain stupid fouls away. Run about the box or 25 yards for a goal. Run about there. End like that. Do not give the foul away. Do not stand up. Don't do. You want to dive into a good tackle. Take 30 yards, 40 yards for a goal. Give them a free kick again. But run about 20, 25 yards. Be very acute and clever about your tackles. Because they're just going to fall at every opportunity that they've done the last time. The fouls that they were getting, Morelos just fawned in front of Big Iron and all that. Be cute now then. Stand after them if you need to, because they're going to fall every opportunity run about. And Gerrard will emphasise that. Fall run about everywhere. Let them touch you. Let go down, because he knows that Celtic can't really deal with high balls into the box, and they're good at attacking balls into the box. Corners, free kicks, be very weary of where you're putting balls out. If you have to clear a ball, clear it up the line. Don't clear it out for a corner. And just, as a unit, we need to defend as a full unit for the front two. I always say, on a park, defending doesn't come for defending. Defending comes for the front. If we defend as a unit for the front two, to the midfield, to the back line, you'll be good. But you need to do that as a unit. And as you're breaking, the front two need to attack, defend for the front in a shape. And then the guy behind him, say it's tumble, he'll need to then push. And it all needs to be done accordingly and plan, where you're not getting guys dragged out of positions that then lets them exploit you. That's the difference. That's what we need today. Everything needs to be a system and work to a system. It's how you defend and how you attack. And that's the key to the game. And no letting stupid fouls away for 25 yards for goal.
Aye, definitely. I think when it comes to the free kicks outside the box, we have done that all season. And we know, especially when we were going through a wee run of form where we were a bit sticky with defensive-wise. And we were conceding free kicks everywhere, edge of the box, outside of the D, just away wide, where you're putting pressure on your defence. As you say, Tavernier and Barisic, they have good deliveries. So if you're going to do that, and then see the thing as well, when we did do that, we actually played dead fucking high and dead deep. And it's very easy to, it's very easy for guys to deliver a ball. But I agree with you that side, mate. I don't know. Connor thinks you're that, but for me, I totally agree with you in that sense, mate.
Aye, no, I totally agree as well. Like, if you need to put a pressure on them for the front, you defend for the front, and then when it comes to defending at the back, just make sure you're not getting away stupid fouls and they're in the area or in an area that they can put in a good ball. Like, see if somebody gets fouled, maybe 20, 25 yards out, and they're putting in a ball across, it's not hard to get it in a wall. Mm-hmm. It's just getting it in the right place and anticipating it. We've no in that last one, we never anticipated that ball. We never tracked that run well enough, and that's how they ended up with a goal. I do think that with that one that they scored in the last game, Barkas could have done better. I felt that he probably could have reached it, but it's just one of the things. But aye. Stop getting stupid fouls in there in the area. I know sometimes, I know a lot of players are told, if you feel contact, hit the ground. In fact, I know that people are now coaching how to look for contact and how to go down when you feel that contact. But for me, it's no right, but that's the way the game is now. You feel that contact, you're going to go down. The ref, if you're giving the ref something to think about, and if they want to turn around and go, aye, that's a foul, then, like, what can you do about it? Like, you just need to make sure that next time you're no on top of the guy and gain him that excuse to hit the deck and give the ref a decision to make.
You can see, when you speak about that, I think we've won trophies, we've won this, we've won that, but see, sometimes I think we lack experience in that type of situation. You see yourself, you see silly free kicks, guys running the corner, horns in the back. No, I can remember one last year, as I watched before I came on, and Morelos had the ball at the corner, he's running towards it. I think we were 1-0 up at the time, and El Hamid just pushed him to the gun. As Robert says, storing up, you don't, it's especially in these games, as you say, is any wee bit of contact. I'm not going to lie, I was one of the worst eight. Anybody played me against me, I was a diver. I done it to one football. And that's what guys do. Any wee touch, referee. And you know these days, we obviously there's no fans in the ground, but if a referee hears a shout, sometimes he goes, there you go. So these other games where, again, the referee will be on his... He'll be scrutinised for anything he does or anything he doesn't give. But just why, obviously, the position, I think, for me is going to be another kind of thing with fans is, do you play Laxalt or Taylor? I've been a big thing with Taylor. I'm not his biggest fan. It might be a bit reliable when it comes to maybe lesser games, but when it comes to Laxalt, might play too high up the park. So does that hinder you? I don't know what your thoughts on that side is, Robert, but I'm really still unsure. Ideally, when it comes to attacking side, I would play Laxalt, but if you want to just, you know, lose a game, you might go with Taylor. I don't know who I would go with still. I really don't know who I would play out the full team, but the left back, I don't know what you think of that, mate.
I liked Laxalt when he first came in, full of energy, great in the tackle and all that, but his delivery's not very great. And defensively, he switches off a lot, as he says, Ryan. He gets caught kind of high up the park. Greg Taylor's more of a defensive. Greg Taylor's no good at going forward, I'll say that. I would say he would pass back a penalty if he got a chance, you know what I mean? That's just the way the boy is. He always looks for McGregor on the left-hand side to support him. But defensively, I think he's a very assured defender if you're going a flat four. But I don't think he'll go a flat four. If he plays a diamond, he can't go a flat four. But yeah, I think he'll go with Laxalt for his energy getting up and down the park, but he just needs to be switched on defensively as well. Can he? Obviously, he can maybe get away with it guys against Dundee United and stuff like that, but he needs to remember that he's first and foremost is a defender and he's there to defend first. And if he can support, then be the supporting in the left-hand side, but always be tracking back to help out in defence because you don't want to be exploited in the wing. It all depends how
Lennon
wants to set up.
I think it all depends on the setup, doesn't it? I don't know what you think of that, Connor, but I'm like Robert. Well, Robert's maybe saying Laxalt, but I really don't know who. Obviously, I'm glad I'm not picking a team because that's we did speak about as well the other day, but we're starting to get players fat again. A bench, you've got Rogic, Johnson, you've got all sorts of options, but Taylor, Laxalt, I don't know. Me, I still don't know. I don't know what you think, mate, about that, but
it's a hard one for me. It's a tough one. It is a tough one because you've got two players that do different things well. Like, so, as you say, Laxalt's good at going forward, but he's not as good coming back. Taylor's good at going back, or he's good at defending, but he's not good going forward. I think if you could, you'd match the two of them together, you'd have the perfect defender, but unfortunately we've got this situation. unfortunately for us, we've not got that, and we need to sort of, it all depends how we're looking at it. Either we're going on front foot, you're picking Laxalt, if we're wanting to sit back and just no lose a game, you're going with Taylor. But for me, I'd be playing Laxalt. I would. But from the way I sort of the way I see football is that say we've got the ball down the left hand side. If your left back's bombing up the park, your left sided centre half's got to go and cover, or your centre defensive mids got one of your centre mids have got to go and cover that left back position. And all your players need to move across. So your centre halves need to move. Your other full back, your right back, will need to sort of stay back. And then let all the players that are forward sort of go with it. And then if the ball's switching out to the other side, then it's just a case of left back goes back, the right back goes forward. That's just the way I've always seen football. Yeah. You know what Celtic are like. If we're in attack, both full backs are overlapping and ready to receive that ball at the wide position. And if we're going with Frimpong at right back, Taylor at left back, Taylor's not going to get up and support the same way Frimpong's going to get up and support. So I just, it's a tough one. But for me, I'd be going Laxalt. If you're looking for points, which I think we should be, we need to be playing Laxalt.
Because obviously we're talking about Tierney there, but if you mix the two of them, when we were really good with Rodgers, he was flying up and down, but he was getting back. But as you say, you had Boyata, etc., kind of tucking in a bit, and you had Brown, and they were pushing there, so he was always kind of covered, because maybe then, we're still going to play us today, but at that time, the way the formation was and the team we set up, they knew that he was going there, and they always went to that side, and he was always covered, because I think Sinclair done a lot, a donkey walk as well. He was always defensively. Sinclair was brilliant for me. I don't think he's enough credit for what he done defensively. He was always, they two worked brilliantly. They were always kind of chalk and changing. If Tierney was up, Sinclair was covering, it was brilliant. I don't know if I've got that. Obviously, we don't know if we're going to go with a diamond or the wingers, but it's hard. It's a hard one to kind of, can I go with? I really don't know who I would go with. I'm humming and hard. I know I see I'm no big fan of Taylor, but as you say, he does stuff like it, doesn't he? So again, I'm just glad I'm not picking it. And then obviously the goalkeeper, Robert, he's been told he's going to be starting. It's a big game for him, yeah. In my opinion. It's a big game for his career. I get, if he fails, it could totally be the end of him. I just hope it's no. I hope he does turn a performance in, because we've seen him in Europe for Athens, and he's by all accounts, he's a decent goalkeeper. He must be if we're trying to buy him in the first place. But the goalkeeper, what would you think about the goalkeeper? Do you think he's maybe, he drew a good performance, I think, for the fans and for himself.
I just don't hope, like, he gets too, he'll try to make an impression in the game, like, doesn't he try and come for a crossbar, it's, like, put his reach and stuff like that and makes an arse of it. You know, some people are that eager to try and make an impression and try and be a hero. Like, he might do a rash decision and, like, come for a cross or something. There's got to be a turning point for him at one point as a goalkeeper. I know he's probably lacked in confidence, probably the COVID's no help. He's not got to mix with his teammates. There could be a lot of things. He could be homesick. We just don't know. Maybe goalkeepers take a bit longer to settle in, because when Foster first came in and loaned that, he wasn't a very great shakes. But maybe a game like this where he pulls off a cracking save and you go in and win could be a turning point, and it could be a great goalkeeper for you. It's just certain wee things in football can make a player or break a player, and we just hope it makes him more than breaks him. We just hope he doesn't do anything stupid and he can actually maybe make a couple of saves, because we'll need him to pull off saves, let's be honest. There'll be times in the game we'll be under pressure and you'll need your keeper to commit and make saves, because I think at the other end, their goalkeeper will be in the game and he'll make saves for them. So in these games, you always need your goalkeeper to do something. And I just hope the guy goes there and does it. Obviously, he's been playing well, training well as well, because he's been brought back into the team. Because I don't think, if he hadn't been doing up well in training, obviously he wouldn't be back in the team, because the young goalkeeper hadn't done it much run. Just my opinion. I just hope that he is 26 now. He's an experienced goalkeeper. He plays with Greece. He's played with IAK Athens, won championships, played in Champions League. So it's about time he earned his money now. This is maybe where it starts to click for him.
And yourself, Conor, which I don't really know your thoughts on the goalkeeping situation. Obviously, Barkas can play. Your thoughts on Barkas and the situation at Celtic, the goalkeeping?
See, the thing with goalkeeping, it's very much it's a confidence position. See, if you pull off a great save, boost your confidence that wee bit, and then you continue to sort of get into a rhythm of making these saves. I think, see, as soon as one thing goes wrong, pressure's on you. If you drop a ball, or if you concede a silly goal, or a goal that you should be saving, then your confidence goes down. You feel the pressure, you do. And I think that for me, the difference between Barkas and young Conor Hazard is, even though Hazard had made a mistake, he made a mistake in the cup final against Hearts. Like, there was a point where he came out to get the ball and it never worked for him, but he redeemed himself in the penalty shootout. by saving the two penalties, and that would have boosted his confidence that wee bit. But with Barkas in the Old Firm the last time, he conceded the two goals. First one he probably should have saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not had that redemption, if that makes sense. So he's not had, he's not managed to build that confidence back up. And because he's not got that confidence there, I think that if the Mora, when he plays, if he can make a really good save or a couple of good saves early on, obviously we don't want to be peppled, but if he can, any chances that come his way, he's concentrated, he pulls off a good save, he builds up that bit of confidence, it could do him the world a good. The last thing we need is for, he put him in there, only having one game at the last, what, five, only playing one game. We put him into the Old Firm and an error pops up and that's him confidence shot again. That it could make or break his sort of career really, but I'm hoping that he can pull off some good saves and build that confidence up, because there must be a player. We don't go out and spend 4.5 million on somebody if we don't think that they're capable of playing in this team. Do you know what I mean? So there's got to be something there, and I want him to prove that. But I think the best thing for him to do is just stay concentrated, get a good couple of saves on, like, in the game, and just take it for there.
Is that, I kind of feel from in a way, we've not a settled back line, we've not a settled team all season, the last two or three weeks. He was playing in front of different people. He's came to a different, as I said to Robert the other day, because of the hysteria about us trying to win 10 in a row, whoever comes in here, if they don't play well the first two or three games, it's, oh, he's shite. We're paying £4 million, £5 million from him. Like, I yet to come in, started playing well, and then losing on the team, we're all saying he's shite. But we're seeing he's formed with Basel when they're in Lucy. Basel are a decent team, and he scored a decent amount of goals with Basel in Europe. So there is a player there, but again, if you give us his word up there, it's very hard to kind of chop and change it. But for me, the goalkeeper, I just think he's got to be, I don't want to say cut him some slack, because I don't think he's done too much wrong. But again, everything's hurting, it's not fucking in, so I might be talking straight there. But I just think, again, I'm agreeing with you too, is that it might be a game that does make his Celtic career. As Lenny says, he is a number one, so he'll be playing. But see, now, see, if he does make a mistake, you can't go and drop him, man. We need to keep a bit of consistency. Just play him. As Lenny says, he broke my number one. Keep him number one. And then, obviously, get into the lineup, guys. I don't know what you're taking the lineup is, but I'll go to you first, Robert. I don't know my team really yet. I've been jumping changing for the last two or three days. I'm just going to say I don't know. I just think my opinion is just go with two up front and then let the team decide itself. I don't know what your opinion is in your team for Saturday, Robert.
Same as you, Ryan. I've chopped, I've changed, I've looked at probably 20 different scenarios, 20 different players, what positions, how you're going to set up. But we've just got to go and set up how we can win the game. Not to stop them, how we can win the game. That's my opinion. And if it is got to be the diamond that's got to be stretched across the park to then go into a defensive unit when you're defending, then so be it. Or the two strikers have to drift wide to stop the fullbacks, and Tumble pushes in the centre that then makes a front three of stopping the back four coming out. That's got to be it. We've got to have a plan A and a plan B. Plan A is no working. We can switch it to plan B, a different tactic, a different system. That's how we've got to set up. But we don't get paid 40, 50 grand a week like Neil Lynn to make the decisions. We can only say what we think. I don't care what tactic he sets up or how he sets up. As long as we get a result with it, then I'll be happy. You know what I mean? I'm quietly confident in the game. I think we should get in there. As I say, we're the champions. We could do it with treble wins. We've got to go there with confidence. There's no crowd there as well, which is a big factor in it. We've got to go there and play with freedom and confidence. And I think we should be able to get a result there. But I think he'll go with a diamond. I think he'll go kind of with the team he had the last few weeks, with a diamond, with Sorrow behind. in front of the back four, Tumbo behind the strikers and the two strikers. I think that's what you'll go with. He might completely change it. I don't know. But I think that's what you'll go with because he's getting positive results and getting clean sheets and stuff. So I'd be daft to change it now.
And then obviously your prediction, what's your scoreline prediction? What's your thinking on that?
2-0, 2-1 Celtic.
I'm agreeing with you, I think, when it comes to, I'm very quietly confident. I know people are saying, how can you be confident due to your form? But I just think because, as you say, we're the champions and I believe in the players there and I believe in the team. I'm kind of, don't want to say I'm believing the manager again. I'm starting to maybe think he's maybe starting to get the team he wants now. So I'm hoping for a positive result. I'm 2-0 for myself. I'll be shoving money in Celtic and also hopefully we win because I'll be doing pocket money. Look at yourself, Connor. What's your lineup? Your thoughts on the game?
I personally think that he shouldn't be changing it for what he's had the last couple of weeks. It's been working. I wouldn't be changing it if it was me. I think that was maybe one of Lennon's problems in the beginning. It wasn't settled and he kept changing it. So for me, I'd just be sticking Barkas in goal. Obviously, bring in Beaton and Ayot, centre-half. Frimpong, right-back, Laxa, left-back. Soro sitting in front of them. McGregor and Christie. Tumble behind the strikers. Edward and Griffiths up front. I think that's the best way to sort of go with it. Seems to be working. Why change it? For the scoreline, I never try and predict an Old Firm. It's so unpredictable. Like, there's been times you went out there confident, all those times that you've been like, oh no, I'm dreading this. But I'll go with what Robert said. I'm seeing it 2-0 Celtic or 2-1. That's the hope, isn't it?
I just think that because there's a lot of hype about your defence. They're not actually talking about how good we're going forward. I think we are obviously in the league. I think going forward we're brilliant. We're free flowing. I think. The goal last year we scored, the 2-0 one in Hayes, that counter-attack just put my Celtic away and Cham, Hayes, Bidwar, that was brilliant. I think we just need to do similar. We need to play quick. We need to play the way we have been playing the last few years. I'm the same as you guys. I'm very positive. People might say, how can you be positive when you're 16 points, blah, 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 your defence is this. But again, you believe in your team. You never go anywhere in the Rangers-Celtic game thinking they're going to get beat. You've always got to be positive, no matter how bad you've been playing. I'm saying 2-0, but you're always valuable. 2-1, make you see the goal. So I'm same as you. When it comes to team, I'd probably go with you, Connor. I think there's no point in changing it, as Robert says. We're not paid the big bucks to make decisions, which I'm very glad of, because I really don't know who I'm going to go with. Because again, you've got guys on the bench who it could bring in, like, it might just fling it away on Mikey Johnson, or they might play Rogic because Rogic likes a game against Rangers. So we don't know.
Go away and Cham in the middle to get on the ball and stuff, you just don't know.
You don't know what they think. So obviously, yourselves, guys, you've beaten a few games yourselves. A lot of stuff, obviously, Robert, we've spoken before. What was your standout kind of previous game, Robert? It could be the scoreline or just the players. What was your kind of standout game in the past that you've kind of watched?
One of the best one was when I was young. As Rangers were a far better team than us, and we just signed Lobo Moravchik. I remember it as a wee guy. I think I was about 12, 13, and gone. And in the press, they were slating Moravchik. I think it was Hugh Keevans that says, why Celtic sign a 33-year-old Slovakian when they could go out and sign John Spencer for Motherwell for $300,000? And the wee guy came in and we won 5-1. And everything we'd done that day was just brilliant. We didn't go and win the league of that, but it was one of the games that you were expecting to take a defeat. Mm-hmm. And we went and beat them 5-1. And Moravchik scored a double, and I think Larson scored two, and I think it was Burchill that scored, if my memory's right. It's a good 20-odd year ago, but that was one of like the best games, like just being with my dad and the excitement of like going to an Old Firm game and winning. Obviously, I've got the more recent ones. going to Ibrox, winning 5-1, 5-1 at Celtic Park, 3-2 at Ibrox, 3-0 at Celtic Park. But that was like the biggest, like one of the 6-2 game at Celtic Park was unbelievable. But that was like my first real experience at Celtic, trouncing Rangers as a young boy. And it was absolutely unbelievable. Mravchuk scored 2, I think it was Larsson 2, and Birchwood, I think it was. But unreal game of football, just games like that is why we love to watch football in it.
Obviously, you were talking about Mravchuk. See, I was only about, I was a young guy anyway, I was maybe 7 or 8 or something. Mravchuk, I think my dad sort of spoke about him, saying that the press, well, you say a lot of pundits and media were saying, why is Celtic signing him and he's this age? And then, as you say, he came in, he was superb. Don't meet yourself, Connor. Is there any kind of game that stand out to you, been to or watched, or just watched in general?
The one that sort of stands out to me that I've been to was the 3-0 Park Heid, the one with Elhaj Diouf when he was on the park. He ended up, I remember that the atmosphere in the stadium was unreal that day. Any game I've been after that, I don't think it's even come close to how I felt and how the atmosphere was that day. Especially because Diouf had to switch wings. Like, you got abuse, that much abuse at one wing, he had to swap to, and he just got him up the same amount of stick at the other side. For me, that's probably my standout one. Just in terms of how I felt on that day and like just the atmosphere. Another one that I wasn't there, I watched it on the telly, but that one where Nakamura scored that screamer, the sort of half volley for about what 30 yards out or something.
And the cup week.
Unbelievable goal that was. I remember watching that poor bouncing about the house. My mum tried to calm me down on that, but
I don't know if that was the same game that Wee Maloney cut in. He scored a screamer. Was that the same game?
Aye.
That Wee Maloney took it in for the left hand side.
Certainly that was the same game, mate. The main bit I can remember is Nakamura scoring that, and then my mum, not even getting to sleep for school the next day. That's just the, like, my mum waking me up. I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, she'd come in, right, it's time to go to school. I've not slept.
But that's what she even like, that's why I think we all love football, because she, like, if you won or you get beat, it does affect everything else in your life. You walk into work, guys slagging you, you're like, oh, fuck off, mate, you know what I mean? For a day or two, you know what, I look at your phone, you know what, I look at your social media, you know what, I do nothing. But when you win, it's off social media, what guys, I get up, it's, I think that's why we all love these type of games. It's not just the game itself, it's everything that comes with it. And only my favourite game recently in general has probably been the one at Ibrox when we won 5-1. I think that was a big sucker punch for Rangers, in my opinion. I think that was the game where they went, fuck. And then obviously after that, the crowds were going down. They put us down to a few hundred. And because they done that because we annihilated them. We were pumping them. And I think that was a big, to go to your rivals and win 5-1 in this day and age, I think it was a big sucker punch, I think, for Rangers fans. And I think that was a time where they were turning up just thinking, just don't get beat today, just don't get beat. I think maybe some Celtic fans might be like that now because of how we've been, just don't go and get beat. But in my opinion, that was the game where, for me recently, it was, I just kind of looked at the game and thought, fuck, that was superb. And then obviously you had that team for me was just unbelievable. You can't really compare that to Lenny's team because you've had a few different changes. But obviously I've enjoyed this guy's talking about the game because it's a massive game for us, and there's only certain things you can obviously say to yourself, but when you go and stuff like this, you express yourself. And I think it's, again, I think the last wee bit about it is yourself, Robert. It's a massive game, I think, for us, and hopefully we're going to get the 3 points.
Massive, Ryan. Just try and get the win, and a draw is no a disaster, but a defeat's a disaster. I mean, you'd walk away with a draw just to keep the momentum game and try and call it back later on in the season, if that has to be. But I think we should go there for a win. In my opinion, we should go to go there and try and win. But a draw is no a disaster. A defeat is a disaster.
I think I'm the exact same as you, Robert. Go and try and get a positive result, because you never contemplate going there and getting beat out yourself, Connor. You can actually make goes that.
I think pretty much you don't go out there and come back with nothing. If you come back with something, you've at least knocked them off whatever they're on. Do you know what I mean? Because looking at the some of the other Old Firms, and they've came away with a result, they'll be looking at us going, do you know what? What's that to be scared of? But as Robert and yourself mentioned before, we're could quadruple, treble winners. Couldn't even get that out there. That's it. Do you know what I mean? We've got to go out there and be like, do you know what? We're the shit. We're the best team in Scotland, and yous need to come at us. So I think we need to get a win, but a draw wouldn't be as bad. Hopefully it knocks them after momentum, and you know what they're like after Christmas anyway. I know normally there's a break and they come back for that still steaming or something, but I think we go out, we get a win, we put down a marker that they're in a title fight here. Go out and get a draw, might not come momentum a wee bit, but don't go out there and not get in. That's the main thing.
I think we're all on the same kind of same hand page. Just go and put the game at Rangers, try and get the 3 points and try and get a good performance in. Thanks for your time, Conor, Robert. It's appreciated about time. Hopefully we'll be speaking to you again and celebrating a decent performance. Thanks again, lads, and that's us on the Celtic Now and for our podcast. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Cheers a lot. Bye.
Are allergies putting a damper on your day? Discover the relief you deserve at Aspire Allergy and Sinus. Our dedicated team is here to help you stop masking symptoms and get to the root of the problem. Say goodbye to constant sneezing, congestion, and itchy eyes with our comprehensive allergy testing and personalized treatment plans. Take the first step towards a healthier, happier you. Visit AspireAllergy.com today, because you deserve to thrive, not just survive.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To fly.